Okay, good everybody. Shavua Tov, good Vach. Great to see you all. Hope everyone had a nice Shabbos. try and move right along and keep it as quick as possible. I've definitely got a lot of koshering to do tonight, so we're going to try to accommodate. I realized over Shabbos that we finished the last parak on Thursday night. I realized that the last two lines of the Gemara, I'm not sure if I explained it so clearly because we were kind of rushing. So I'm just going to make sure that everybody understood the last two lines. I'm going to just pick up with the last two lines of the previous parak. That was explained clearly. And then we're going to do this parak. This parak is actually a nice reprieve. It's just straight Mishnayos. There's no Gemara in this parak. So we're just going to run through a bunch of Mishnayos. And we'll finish this parak tonight in Yirtzeh Hashem, and then we'll resume with the fourth parak tomorrow night. So just going to pick up with the last few lines of the previous parak, of the second parak. The Mishnah had mentioned that the Ma'aracha, when they would put the logs on the Mizbeach in order to light the fire, so the Mishnah had mentioned that they would make some sort of like space. There would be a chazisa, which is some sort of space. It technically is some sort of window. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what that means, but there was some sort of like large opening, and the Gemara had that they would have in the logs that were on the Mizbeach for the fire. And the Gemara had mentioned, the Gemara said, my time, and what's the reason for that chazisa? Why would they have that space there? And Rav Huna said, so one person said the reason for that was that the wind could get through to make the fire stronger. That they would throw more wood into that area, into that big open space. They would add wood to the fire. So the Gemara said, Meisve, Reva Chaya Behen Bein HaGezirin Shahayu Metzisin Es HaLisa Misham. We also, the Mishnah said that there was space between the different layers of the logs. There was actually some space between. So why was there a need for this, you know, bigger opening, this chazisa? What was the point of that if there was already space to throw in extra wood? So the Gemara had answered, Amalecha Mekomos Mekomos Avdi, that there were multiple ways or multiple spaces that you could put in to reignite and to have the fire blare stronger. So that was just the end of the last parak. I just want to make sure that was clear to everybody. I just did, I don't know if that was, if we did it kind of quickly, so I just wanted to make sure that everybody had that clear. Okay, starting with the next parak, and as we mentioned, this parak is, hopefully should be smooth. There's no Gemara in this parak, so it's just Mishnayos. And I think the next parak, when we get back to the next parak, there'll be Gemara in the next parak. Have a bunch of Mishnayos to run through. So we are up to the next stage. When we last left the Kohanim, they were working on the Trumas HaDeshen, clearing off the Mizbeach for the purpose of being able to offer the Karban Tamid on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara picks up with Amar Lahen Hamamuna. So the appointed charge of the entire service for that day, he would come, Ebo V'hifisu, and he would say to everybody, okay, let's go and now let's do the next lottery, because now that the Mizbeach is cleaned off, we have to pick the Kohanim who are going to be doing the next number of Vodos in the Beis HaMikdash, the first of which, of course, is going to be the Hakrabas Hatamid. That's going to be the first carbon. But in the meantime, there's also some other avodos that took place in many ways simultaneous with that carbon Hatamid. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, come in everybody, let's do another lottery. Mi Hashochet, Mi Azorek, Mi Medashin, Mizbeach HaPnimi. Who is going to shech the carbon Tamid? Who is going to be throwing, sprinkling the blood of the carbon Tamid onto Mizbeach? And then Mi Medashin, Mizbeach HaPnimi, Mi Medashin Es HaMenorah. Because after the carbon tumid is shechted and the blood is sprinkled, so then they're going to have to go and they're going to have to clean off the mizbeach that's inside the heichal. They've already cleaned off the mizbeach in the azara that's used for the carbon hatumid, but they have to clean off the mizbeach in the heichal, the mizbeach that's used for the ketores. So that has to still be cleaned, and they also have to clean out the menorah. The menorah has been burning all night, so they have to clean out whatever wicks are no longer burning. They have to clean out whatever's left from the menorah. So they are going to do another lottery in order to pick which Kohanim are going to be doing those items. Mimala Evarm Lakebesh, and which Kohanim are going to then be bringing up the limbs of the Karban Hatamid, which Kohanim are going to bring those limbs up the ramp to the Mizbeach. What were the limbs? Harosh veharegel shel yamin. The limbs include the head, the right hind leg, shtei hayadayim, the two front legs, ha'okates, which is the backside, which is includes the tail and some of the, you know, some of the backside of the cor- of the animal, the ha'regel shel smol, the left hind leg, ha'chazeh, which is the chest, the breast of the animal, the ha'gera, the throat area, ushtei defanos, the two flanks, the big, you know, the sides of the carbon, ha'krivayim, the innards, the ha'solas, the ha'chavitin, ha'yayin, and the flour that was going to be offered along with the carbon atamid, there was the flour offering that came along with the carbon atamid. There was also the chavitin, which was the flour cake offering that was offered by the Kohen Gadol every day. And the yayin, the wine that was also used for the nesachim that went along with the carbon atamid. So they would do a lottery to pick who would be the Kohanim that would be doing these various portions of the avodah. So the Mishnah says, Hifisu Zacha Misha Zacha. They would perform the lottery, and the one who was Zocha, the one who merited to do these various tasks, that person would step up and be able to do those tasks. So there are a number of people, obviously, who were going to be involved in these next steps. Then the Mishnah says that once we had the players chosen, so in Higia Haroa, I'm sorry, Amar Lahen, the Mamuna would say to everybody, go outside and take a look to see if it's time to shech the carbon atamid. So the person would go out and look, and if it was time, if it was already morning, so then he would come out, he would come back and he would say, barkai, it's light outside, which means that it's time to shech the carbon atamid. Masya, then Shmuel Omer, Masya the son of Shmuel said, ha'or pinei kol ha'mizrach ad shehu bechevron. They would respond to him, is the entire skyline lit such that it's light until Chevron? V'hu Omar Hain, he would say, yes, it is. Amar lahen, su'u v'hiviu tle milishchas hatziloyim. So then, if that's the case, he would say, the Mimuna would say, okay, go and get the sheep from the lishchas hatziloyim, which is the place where the sheep were kept. This place was one of the smaller chambers in the Beis Hamokid, which is the place in the Beis Hamikdash that we had been speaking about a number of times throughout this Masechta. So one of the chambers in the Beis Hamokid was the Lishchas HaTzeloyim, where they would keep the sheep. I'll try and try and bring it up quickly if I can share my screen. One second. Okay, so if you see here in the Beis Hamokid, it's hard to see if you look where my mouse is. So there you see in the Beis Hamokid, there are four chambers in the corners. So one of them is the Lishchas Hatzilayim right here. That's where the sheep were kept. So they would go and get, they would get a sheep in order to offer as the carbon atamid. And they would, okay. I'm actually going to leave the screen share on for right now. Okay, they're going to bring a sheep from Lishchas HaTzeloyim. The Harei Lishchas HaTzeloyim Nesun v'Miksoat Tzifonis Ma'arabis. It was, this chamber was in the northern western section of the Beis Hamokid, like we just saw. Arba Lishchas Hayusham, there were actually four chambers in the Beis Hamokid. Achas Lishchas HaTzeloyim, one was placed with the sheep. V'achas Lishchas HaKhosamos. So if you see on the screen, the Lishchas HaKhosamos, which was right over here, the Lishchas HaKhosamos, the Achas Lishchas Beis Hamokid, other was the Lishchas Beis Hamokid, which actually on the diagram that I have is not listed, but this is where it would be. Here it's listed as the place where they would go down to the Tzvila, which may or may not have been the same thing. I'm not 100% sure why that's listed there as the base that they would go down to the Tzvila, but the way it's described in the Mishnah is that the Lishchas base, the Mokid was right here. And the Mokad is the place where the fire would be. So it could be we know that the fire was near the mikvah. So it could be that this was all in the same area. And then the Achas Lishchas She'osin Lechem Haponim. And then up here in the corner over here was the Lishchas, where the chamber where they would make the Lechem Haponim. So that was over here. So those were the four chambers within the Beis HaMokad. Nichnusu Lishchas HaKelim. So after they would get the sheep, so somebody would also go into the Lishchas HaKelim, which was the place where they would keep a lot of vessels. And the Mefarshim actually point out that it's unclear where this Lishchas HaKelim was, but apparently there was some place in the Beis HaMikdash where Kelim were kept, where the vessels were kept. Hotziu misham tishim v'shlosha klei kesef uklei zahav. They would bring out quite a few different utensils, 93 utensils made of gold and silver. Hishku es hatamid bekos shel zahav. If you turn on to lamed beis, turning the page, they would feed, they would give to drink to the carbon atomic. They would give it to drink from the kosh shel zahav, which we spoke about in the last year, whether or not that was actually what they did or if that was just an exaggeration. And then the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, afa pishu mevukar, and even though all the animals that are in the lishvas hatzloim that are kept for the purpose of bringing karbanos, even though they're all checked before they're admitted to that pen, miba erev, from the previous day, from the night before, mevakrin osol or avukos, they would still check it again with the light of the torches that they would have before offering it to make sure that no mum, there was no blemish that appeared on the animal between the time that it entered into lishvas hatzloim and the time that it's being offered as the karban. Mishazacha b'disho mizbeach. Now the person who merited to do the disho mizbeach hapnimi, to clean off the ashes and the coals from the inner mizbeach and the heichal, ubedishon haminorah, and the person who would clean out the menorah, the whatever was left from the wicks in the menorah inside the heichal, hayu magdimin, they would go first, v'dalad kalim b'yadam, and there were four utensils, four vessels in their hands, hateni, which was some sort of basket, v'hakuz, which was some sort of a pitcher-like scraping tool that they would use to scrape, gather the ashes and hold the ashes from the different, from the mizbeach and from the menorah, u'shnei maftechos, and two keys. Hateni doma letarkav shel zahav, the teni is similar to some sort of golden basket, machzik kabayim v'chetzi, and it would hold 2.5 kavs. V'hakuz domi l'kiton gadol shel zahav, and this kuz, this scraper type of thing, was similar to a large golden jug. U'shtei maftechos, and there were two keys. Echad shuhu yored ba'amas hashechi, one which was, they call it, the one that would go down into the armpit, because apparently one of the locks, they had to actually stick their arm through the wall or through the gate to reach the lock, that their arm would go all the way through until the wall, their, you know, until they couldn't go any further because their armpit got in the way. So they would stick their hand all the way through with one key to unlock it. So that was called the key that kind of made it, you had to reach through the, till the armpit. That was one key. And then the other key was the echad shu poseach kivun. And the other one was a key where they would just open immediately, as you would expect any normal key. You would stick into the lock and you would turn the key and it would open. Balo lepishpesh hatzfoni. So now if you go back, look at my at the diagram again. So the Kohen, who the Kohen, the Kohanim would be going into the Heichal. So the Kohanim that would be going into the Heichal, so you can see the entrance to the Heichal is here. So on the side of the Heichal right here, and right here are two smaller doors. So these were the Pishpesh HaTzfoni, which is right here, the northern door that would also lead into the Heichal. And then there's the Pishpesh HaDromi, which would be on this side and also lead into the Heichal. So the Mishnah says that Balo LePishpesh HaTzfoni, he would go to the northern Pishpesh, the northern entrance right over here. Hayulo, I'm sorry, one second, I just lost my place. Balo LePishpesh HaTzfoni, Shnei Pishpishin Hayulo. There were two Pishpishin, two entrances. Lishar HaGadol, to this big entrance, which was right here. Achas B'tzafon, Achas B'darum. One was in the north and one was in the south. If you're paying attention to the mouse, I'm moving it along. Shebidarum Lo Nichnas Bo Adam Olav. This one to the south, no one ever entered in that one. The Hoop Mefurash Al Yedei Yechezkel. And this is clearly stated in the Sefer Yechezkel, Shneemar. This gate will be closed. It will never be opened. No one will ever go into that door because this is the door that Hashem goes into and it is always closed. Apparently there are some traditions that we have that perhaps this gate is being reserved for the times of Mashiach. Maybe Mashiach is going to somehow go in there. Lots of different discussions about that. But the simple understanding is that this door was not really used as anything part of the regular avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. Not the lesa mafteach. So the Mishnah continues that the Kohen would take the key. U'pasach es ha-pishpesh b'nichnas lahateh. So he would open the door that was on the northern side here. This one over here, if you can see from my little mouse over here. So he would open this door and he would enter the tay. The tay was this sort of cell that was in between, in the walls of the heichal. And inside this tay, he would be able to enter through this hallway into the heichal itself. So he would go into from this direction here, and he would go into the Heichal here. So Me'ate LaHeichal. From this Teh, he would enter into the Heichal over here. And he would walk through the Heichal until he came to the Shar HaGadol, which I'm circling right now with my mouse. That was the main entrance to the Heichal, but the problem was that it was locked all night. So he comes through this back entrance and goes into the Heichal from behind, and then he comes to the Shar HaGadol, heavier as HaNeger. He would lift up the bolt that was locking the Shar HaGadol, the Es HaPosachos Upislu, and he would move the joints and the bolt that would be locking the Shar HaGadol, and he would open the Shar HaGadol. Once he opens this great gate that was the main entrance to the Heichal, so then the Kohen who was standing out here with the Karban HaTamid, he would not shech the Karban HaTamid until he heard that this gate was opening. He obviously couldn't see, he couldn't necessarily see it from where he was standing over here, which is where the Karban HaTamid was shechted, which we'll see in a minute, but he could hear that the gate was opening. Once he heard that the gate was opening, so then he knew that it was time to be able to shech the Karban HaTamid. Then the Mishnah says, Miricho, Hayu Shomin Kol Shar Gadol Sheniftach. This gate was so loud that even in Yericho they could hear that it would open. Miricho Hayu Shomin Kol Magrefa. Similarly, in Yericho they could hear the sounds of the Magrefa, which was technically Magrefa means a shovel, but it's referring to an instrument that was used in Beis Hamikdash, which somehow resembled it had some sort of resemblance and appearance to a shovel. Miricho Hayushomin Kol Hashir, they could hear the Levian singing. Miricho Hayushomin Kol Ben Arza Makish Betzalzal, they could hear the Ben Arza, who was the one who would play the bell instrument, I think, maybe a tambourine or something like that. Miricho Hayushomin Kol HaCholil, they would hear the trumpets and the flutes that they would be using for the base of Mikdash. Miricho Hayushomin Kol Yevine Kruz, they could hear the voice of the Kohen who was in charge of waking everybody else up, the one who would scream every morning that it's time to wake up. They would hear his voice in Yericho. Miricho Hayushomin Kol HaAyin She'asa, I'm sorry, HaEitz, She'asa Ben Kitin Muchni Lakir. From Yericho, they could hear that pulley system that we talked about last time, that they would use to raise the kiur from underneath the ground, that it went in each night connected to the ground. They would raise it up out of the ground with that pulley system. They could hear that Yericho. Yericho Yerushomin Kol Ashir. They could hear the songs of Levim. I guess the earlier one was in parentheses because it was out of place. Miricho Hayashomea Kol Shofar. They could hear the Kol Shofar. The Shofar was blown a number of times each day in the base of Mikdash. They could hear those kolos. And they said that they could even maybe hear the sound of the Kohen Gadol when he would call the Shem Hashem on Yom Kippur during the Avodas Yom Kippurim, and everybody would be bowing down and respond, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Sol Le'olam Va'ed. So that was also all heard in Yericho. Me'yericho hayu me'yerichin reach pitum haktores. In Yericho, they could also smell the beautiful fragrance of the ketores, of the incense. All of this was what would reach Yericho. Yericho. Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Zigloy izim hayu la'aba ba'arei ha-machvar. So Rabbi Lazar ben Zigloy says that his father used to have goats that were on this in the cities of Machvar, which was also a fair distance from Yerushalayim. V'hayu mis'ashos mireach pitom ha-ketores. And they would sneeze sometimes because they would get a sniff of the coming from the Beis HaMikdash. It would travel so far that even the goats would sometimes sense it and they would sneeze. Misha Zocha B'Tamid. So now, finally, we're getting to hear about the person, the Kohen, who was meriting to take care of the Karban Tamid in the morning. So the one who was Zocha in the Karban Tamid, Mashchu V'Holach V'Beis HaMikdashim. So he would take the Karban HaTamid, which was coming from here, from the Beis HaMokeid, and he would bring it to the Beis HaMadbach Chaim, which was over here. It's the place where the Karbanos would be shechted. And the people who were going to help bring the Karban HaTamid Zevarim, the limbs of the Karban HaTamid, onto the Zbeach, they would follow along with him. Beis HaMitbachayim, Hayalitzvono Shel Nizbeach. So the Beis HaMitbachayim, where they would shech the Karban, where they would prepare the Karban, this was on the northern side of the Zbeach. They actually wouldn't shech there. We'll see in a minute they wouldn't shech there. This is where they would prepare the Karban. So it was on the northern side of the Zbeach. Ches amudim And there were eight, as you can see here, there were eight pillars, small, amudim ninasim, there were eight small pillars, urevoyim shel erez al gabehen. And each of the top, on top of these pillars, there were squares, there were blocks of cedar wood. The ankelos shel barzel hayu kivun bahen. And they would have hooks of iron that were affixed to them. The gimel sidarim l'chol echad echad. Three of these hooks would be affixed to each block. And you can see here these little white squares, these are tables of marble that would be in between the amudim, and they would have these amudim, these pillars, that they would use to hang the animals when they would skin them and prepare them for the mizbeach. So this was the Beis HaMitbachayim. Misha zacha bedisho mizbeach ha-pinimi, the person who was zoche to clean off the mizbeach ha-pnimi inside the heichal. Nichnos v'natal es ha-teni, so he would then, as they were preparing, when they would bring the carbon tumen over to this area and get it ready and get it prepared to bring over to the shechted very shortly. So at the same time, so the kohanim who were going in to clean off the mizbeach ha-pnimi, they would start gathering their utensils to go and clean off the mizbeach ha-pnimi. Nichnos v'natal asateni behinichu lefanov. They would bring the basket and they would put it in front of the him. V'hayachofein v'nosein letocho. And he would take from the ashes that were on the mizbeach ha-pnimi and they would put it into this basket. U'bachrona kiveid es hashar letocho behinichu biyatsa. And then he would finish off, he would bring the rest of it, and he would put it into that basket, and he would leave the basket there, and then he would leave the heichal. Then after he would do that, the other Kohen, Misha Zacha B'dishon HaMenorah, Nechnas, so then the other Kohen, who is Zocha, to clean out the menorah, he would go into the heichal. Umatza Beis Noros Ma'aravis Dolkin, and if he would find the two candles on the western side of the menorah still lit. Sometimes they weren't lit, but usually they were still lit. Midashen es hashar. So he would clean out the other five branches. Two of the candles were still lit. Usually he would clean out the other five branches. Umeniach es elu dolkin b'mekomon. And he would leave the ones that were still lit, he would leave them to continue being lit, and they would continue to burn for a bit longer. Matzan shekavu midashin madlikin min hadlukin. If those two were not lit, so then he would actually clean those out and relight them from the ones that were lit. Because there was always supposed to be, and in the first Beis HaMikdash, it was always the case. In the second Beis HaMikdash, the Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash started to wane as it got later on in the time period of the second Beis HaMikdash. But the general idea was usually the most western candle of the menorah was basically lit almost every moment. And that was considered the Ner HaTamid. They would light some of the other candles and then clean that one out every once, and relight it immediately. But there was always a candle that was lit on the Ner. Usually it was that left one. That was the one that was basically lit almost all times during the day. So that's referring to here, that two of the candles would remain lit on the western side. One of them was basically the Ner Tamid. The other one was lit because when the Pasuk says that you have to clean out the candles, you always have to clean out at least two. So if you're going to clean out the Ner Tamid when you put it out and relight it, for just a brief second, so you would always have to do another one with it. So they would always try and leave two that were lit. And the Pasuk also, there's a lot of drushes in the Meseches Yuma that they would actually do the cleaning out of the menorah in two stages. They would do first the first five, which is being described here. And then we're going to see in a second, they would go back to Shech the Karban HaTamid. And then after Shech the Karban HaTamid, they would come back and do the other two. That's also learned from the psukim in Meseches Yuma, the Darshan psukim, that the menorah had to be cleaned in two stages. So here, generally what would happen is those two western candles were lit. They would clean the other five. And then, as Hashar, Umaniyach HaSeilu Dolkim, Mekoman, leave those two lit. If those two weren't lit, they would clean those two and then relight them. V'acharkach Medashin as Hashar. And then they would clean out others. The Even Haisa Lifnei HaMenorah, and there was a stone in front of Menorah, Uba Gimel Malos, and there were three steps that would lead up to Menorah, Shalea Kohen Omeid, Umeitiv Esaneros. And on those three steps, the Kohen would walk up in order to clean out the Menorah, as Hakuz, Umaniach as Hakuz, Al Mala Shinia V'yatza. And then he would leave the kuz, he would leave that scraper that he was putting all of the ashes from the different things into, he would leave it on the second step. And we'll see how this concludes this perek. We'll see the next perek how this would be done. And in the middle of this avoda, they would go out and they would be shefting the carbon atomic, and then they would come back to finish this process side of the Eichel. So it was kind of like a simultaneous two-tiered process going on, that the Hatavas HaMenorah was split up between the first five and the second two. And in between, we'll see that that was where the carbon atomic took place. But we'll leave that for tomorrow night. Yom Tov, Hadron Alach, Amr Lehem Amemuna. And we will pick up tomorrow night with the next perek. Everyone, have an amazing evening. A few people have been emailing me some questions. I'm trying to get back to you if people have questions. I'm actually going to say, if anyone has any questions for tonight, please feel free to email me. But right now I actually am in a little bit more of a rush than I have been. So I'm going to call it a night and bid you all a farewell. Shkoyach.
Thank you for a great cheer.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining.
Hey, Rabbi, what's your email?
acraft@torahchicago.org. You can Google the Chicago, YU Torah Mitzvah and Call of Chicago, and it's on the website, but it's acraft@torahchicago.org.
Okay, thanks.
Shkoyach.
Okay. Shkoyach. Okay, have a good night.
Bye-bye.